Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning from Zachary United Methodist Church, and happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. I hope that you're being treated to a very special and wonderful day. And if you're new to our service of worship, we welcome you as well, and we hope that you are blessed by your time with us this morning. You know, it's always difficult to try to figure out what you're going to get for your mother on Mother's Day, to try to express your appreciation and your love for her. And especially this year, because we're kind of limited as to where we can go and to what we can do together. There was a little boy who was struggling with this, and so he says to his dad, "Dad, I wonder what Mom would want for Mother's Day this year." Whereupon the dad suggested some things. He said, "Well, you could fix her breakfast in bed. You could clean the entire house, and she would really like that. You and your brothers could promise that you'll stop fighting with each other, even if just for the day. She really like that too. Or maybe even you could promise that she would get up in the mornings the first time she asked you to." Whereupon the little boy said, "Oh, Dad, I was thinking of something much more practical than that. Something like a necklace or something else." I hope that you have found a way to express your love and your appreciation to your mother today. Here at our church, we always use this day each year to honor all of the women of our church for the way that they have impacted our life in positive ways and how they've nurtured us. So just know that you are loved and you are appreciated. And I hope you experience that today. Well, as you can imagine, it was difficult to come up with a message for today. Not because it's Mother's Day, and not because it's the day that we typically celebrate the festival of the Christian home. And it's not because I really don't know what to talk about. It's because I know what I don't want to talk about. And yet, there's really no way to avoid not talking about it. I don't want to talk about that which we have been talking about nonstop for the last 2.5 months. That is this COVID virus pandemic we're all going through. In fact, this week I was talking to a friend who, like us, is sheltered at home. He's doing the social distancing thing and staying away from everybody and washing his hands like we all should be doing. And he said, "You know, I have just heard enough about this pandemic and what it can do to us. I've heard enough about all the panic and all the fear and all the heartbreak and the endless speculation about what is to come. I've just heard more than enough." That phrase really kind of resonated with me because I too have heard more than enough about all of this and what's going on. And I suspect that many of you feel the same way. I've heard more than enough about what we already know and what we still don't know. But what I've not heard enough about, and perhaps I've not talked enough about it or even thought enough about it, is how this pandemic does not have the final say in what is to come. It does not have the last word about the future of our world or the future of the church or the outcome of your life. And that is because we serve a risen Savior who is in the world today, and His power is more than enough to help us to overcome all that we're facing, any challenge that we're up against. And that's what I want to focus on today. How we can take courage knowing that God's grace and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is more than enough to help us to get over the challenges we're facing in our lives today and forever. Now, over the last few weeks, we have been talking about a series of sermons, Hanging Tough in Tough Times. And we've been doing that as a way to talk about how we can deal with the situation that we're all find ourselves in right now, and about any future crisis or circumstance you may find yourself in. And we began this series right after Easter Sunday, as a way of reminding ourselves, because of the resurrection, we don't have to live in fear. But rather, we can face the uncertainties that are before us now with a sense of peace and with confidence, because our faith is in a God who has demonstrated that He has a power that is greater than anything we face on this earth. Now, I know that many of you are facing some difficult times right now, and there's a great uncertainty about the future. But what I want you to know today is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is more than enough for anything that you're facing or that you ever will face. And to help us realize this today, I want to talk about the stories of three individuals and the impact that the resurrection of Jesus Christ had upon their lives. Now, like most stories in the Bible, I think we can see ourselves in these stories. But when we look at these stories today, I hope that you'll gain some insights into your own life and how Jesus Christ is more than enough to help you to live an overcoming life. First of all, let's look at Mary. Mary and her grief. The Gospel of John tells us that Mary and some of the disciples went to the tomb on that early Easter morning, and they found the tomb was empty. And of course, at that point, they didn't know what to make of this. They couldn't figure out what had happened. Before his death, Jesus had made a lot of enemies, particularly amongst those who were in power. And so their first assumption was that somebody had taken his body. And maybe they were using it as a way to further humiliate and further embarrass their followers. So the disciples, they all left in fear, but not Mary. Mary stayed behind, crying with grief and despair. And then you remember someone spoke to her, saying, "Why are you crying?" And then he asked her, "Who are you looking for?" And we know that she thought that it was a gardener. But that's not who it was. She said to him, "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him so I can go find him and bring him back." And then when the stranger speaks again, she realizes who he is. Because this time, he says her name. In John's Gospel, it records this, saying, "Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' And Jesus said to her, 'Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.' And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord.'" As I reflect upon this story, I picture Mary weeping outside of that tomb, devastated by the recent events. Her spirit is broken. Her hopes have been shattered. At this point, it seems as if her world has come to an end. All she could focus on was the grief over how things used to be and would never be again. Some of the other disciples, it appears, decided just to move on with their life, to return to the lives of fishing, but not Mary. Mary could only stare into that empty tomb and weep with grief, paralyzed by her grief. It reminds me of something that a woman said to me after her husband died several years ago. She said that for several months, she would sleep in her bed with his clothes next to her. She would sit in a chair and she would hold his things, like his coffee mug or his books or photographs. Her grief just seemed like it would never end. Now, we've all had reasons to grieve over these last several weeks, and there may be more grief to come. And it may seem as if aspects of your world have come to an end and will never be the same, and we know that that's true in some areas of our life. But what I want you to know is in the midst of your grief, Jesus has promised that he will be there with you. As King David wrote, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And we know that there's a reason that these words are not just empty phrases. Because Jesus Christ conquered death, and he promised us there's going to be a day that he will wipe every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. So if you are grieving today, then I would encourage you to take a moment and listen. Because just as Jesus called out Mary's name, he's calling out your name too. And he's saying, in effect, that I am with you. I have conquered death. And my grace is more than enough to carry you through whatever you're facing now. You know, this was true for Mary, and it can be true for you as well. All right, let's look at another story. The story of Peter. Peter and his past. Now, we all know what happened to Peter. At the Lord's Supper, their last time together with Jesus, Jesus told Peter that Peter was going to deny knowing him before the rooster crowed by the morning. And of course, Peter insisted, "I would never do such a thing. I will not. He would not do this." But we know that just a few hours later, as he's watching Jesus being tried by the high priest, he's at a distance warming his hands over a fire. And someone in the crowd recognizes him and says, "You, you're one of them. You were with him." And before that night was over, Peter would deny Jesus not once, but three times. And when the rooster crowed that morning, we read how Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. Suddenly, Peter remembered Jesus' words. And Luke's gospel tells us that he went out and he wept bitterly with great shame. Now, I'm sure at that moment, Peter felt that it was just all over. And even if Jesus somehow managed to get out of this, nothing would ever be the same after that. But then, after Jesus rose from the dead, the angel of the Lord came and told the disciples that he is risen, he's alive, and go to Galilee where you will see him again soon. And in his proclamation to the disciples, the angel included two words that makes all the difference for those who need to hear them. He said, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you." He tells the disciples and Peter, the one who had proved himself to be a coward, the one who had enough guilt and shame to last a lifetime and more, the one who has every reason to think that Jesus would be through with him forever. Tell Peter. Tell him that Jesus is alive and that all is forgiven. Now, I know that there are some that are listening here today who at some point in your life you have felt the same way. You have felt that what you've done in your past can never be forgiven or forgotten. That after what you've done, God could never accept you. God could never redeem your life or want to have anything to do with you. And that you're just going to have to live with this the rest of your life. But what I want you to know is that that is not true. No matter what your past may have been, even if you cannot change what happened, God's mercy can be yours. You can be forgiven. This is why God says in the book of Isaiah, "I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." When Jesus died on that cross, he paid the price for your sins, all of them. And any punishment you deserved, he took on your behalf. So you can be forgiven. And that's not because you deserve it, and certainly none of us deserve it, but rather it's because God's grace and his love for you is that great. It is more than enough to set you free from the sins of your past. So if you're struggling with shame and guilt in your life, then for a moment, remember those two words that were spoken by that angel on that Easter morning. Tell the disciples and Peter. And you can substitute your name in that place of Peter, because he was speaking to you as well. All right, let's look at the third story for today. It's a story about Thomas. Thomas and his doubts. In the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, we're told that the disciples were hiding behind closed doors in fear of what the religious leaders might do to them. They arrested Jesus, they would probably arrest them too. And suddenly, in spite of those locked doors, Jesus appeared among them. And he showed them the wound in his side, he showed them the piercings in his feet and his hands, as a way to say, "Indeed, it is me, and I have risen." But Thomas wasn't there to see this. And when the others tried to tell Thomas what they had seen, he was skeptical. He had his doubts. He said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus appeared to them again, and this time, Thomas was with them. And this time, Jesus spoke directly to Thomas, saying, "Put your finger here, Thomas, and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas then knew that it was really true. You know, some people think that the point of this story was to point out that Thomas was the weakest of the disciples because of his doubts. But I don't think that's at all the case, because on many other occasions, Thomas was much more confident, he was bold, and showed greater faith than any of the other disciples. Thomas just wanted to see the same evidence that the others had seen for himself. And notice that Jesus did not turn his back on Thomas because of that. In fact, Jesus made a special appearance just for him. And if Thomas was nothing more than just a doubter, he would have come up with all kind of reasons not to believe. I mean, he could have just explained this phenomenon away in some way, saying, "Oh, you probably didn't die, you just swooned." Or, "They must have hired an actor to die on your behalf and fooled everybody." Or, "I'm just imagining all of this." I mean, if Thomas only wanted a reason to doubt, he could have found many reasons to do so. But Thomas wasn't looking for a reason to doubt. He was looking for a reason to believe. And what he saw was enough. It was what he needed to see. For he says in verse 20, "Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" So what can we learn from this story of Thomas? Well, I think there are many people in our world today who are filled with doubts, with questions, with uncertainties. There are some who are uncertain and have questions about the Christian faith. There are some who have doubts about whether or not God is listening to us, or whether or not God even cares about what's going on with us. There are some who are filled with uncertainty about the future and how to face these challenging days and whatever is going to come. But I want you to know that just like he did for Thomas, Jesus is ready to make himself known to you. And not just as a religious leader or prophet of the past, but rather he's ready to reveal himself to you as the Son of God, the anointed Messiah, the risen Savior, and he's ready to walk alongside of you every step of your life through the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And that's true, because doubts and questions and uncertainties, they don't derail those who believe as much as they do those who don't believe. However, if you're like Thomas and you need to see evidence for yourself, you need to confirm things for yourself, know that God is always ready to reveal as much as you need to know. If you're looking for a reason to believe, instead of just merely for a reason not to believe, God will reveal himself to you. God will come to you. He will make himself known to you. And even if you're sheltering behind doors that are locked because of fear and doubt and uncertainty, he will come to you. He will comfort you with his presence, and he will speak his truth into your life. And we're all facing uncertainties about what is to come in the future. But be sure of this one thing. We serve a risen Savior who is with us. And the power of the resurrection is more than enough to get us through whatever we're going to be facing tomorrow. Perhaps you can identify with one of these characters we talked about this morning. The widow grieving and crying outside of the tomb. The one who felt that there's just no way that his past could ever be forgiven or forgotten or redeemed. The one who was hindered by a reluctance to believe and to trust in the presence of the resurrected Christ. Today, we look at how the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed the outcome of each of their lives. But you know, we all have our own story. We all have our own set of problems, our own set of fears and hurts and regrets. And right now, what you're facing may seem unbearable. But what I want you to know is that Jesus came to show us that God is with us. And that God loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to demonstrate that He has the power over sin, over death, or anything else we may face on this earth. As we read in Hebrews, He promises, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." As He said in Matthew's Gospel, "Remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." As He said in Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." You know, after the crucifixion, the followers of Jesus had every reason to believe that their world had come to an end. There may be some of you who are feeling the same way today. But after encountering the risen Christ, they knew that He would always be with them, and that His presence was more than enough to get them through whatever they would face tomorrow. Whatever you may be facing today, you can be sure that God's mercy and God's power and the presence of the resurrected Christ is more than enough to see you through, to help you overcome anything you are facing. This is why Peter would later write, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In the midst of your grief, may you hear Him calling out your name today. In the midst of your shame and your guilt, may you know that He died and He was resurrected for you too. In the midst of your doubts and uncertainties, may you hear Him saying to you, "Do not doubt, but believe in Me." Let us pray. Lord, we are living in challenging times right now. And the longer that things go on, the more we are filled with frustration, with doubts and questions, grief and uncertainty. We pray for your peace in the midst of these days, a peace that is rooted in your love for us and your presence with us, a peace that is found through faith in who you are and trust in your promises. Remind us today, O Lord, that because of the good news of your resurrection of Jesus, we don't have to live in fear, but rather by faith in your power to overcome our sins, death, anything else that we're facing. May your peace and the hope that is found in you abide with us all. May it sustain us and lead us through the days ahead. We pray all of this in the powerful and blessed name of Jesus. Amen.